Well, hey there, campers, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Camp Cryptid. I'm your host, Erica Fett, and today I am super excited to have a brand new edition of Campfire Tales. Now, Campfire Tales are some of my absolute favorite episodes because this is where you listeners send in your creepy story of eerie, suspenseful, and terrifying things that have happened to you. And that way we can all kind of sit here and digest and kind of enjoy some spooky stories for our midweek little enjoyment. But I'm super excited to get into some of these today. But first, I'd like to thank everybody so much for the love on the last episode, which was the Flatwoods Monster episode. I was very excited to get to dive into a little bit more of the lore and facts of the Flatwoods Monster, especially because that is a cryptid that I've heard of and I knew what it looked like. But before, you know, prior to that episode, I had never really like looked into the Flatwoods Monster. So getting to sit down and do the research and learn everything about it was just so much fun. So thank you all so much for hanging out and enjoying that episode. Now, I did decide that maybe I need to start like cosplaying some of these random cryptids. So yeah, if you see me in some kind of metallic dress or, you know that I'm starting my cryptid cosplay era. So I'm very excited. But, I figured we would just dive into some of these amazing stories that you all have sent. And I'm super excited. Now, if you're listening to any of these stories and you are thinking, wow, I have a story that's exactly like that, or I have a creepy cryptid encounter or a paranormal encounter, or you saw a UFO. Basically anything that's weird and strange and bizarre, just send it in. There's a little spot at campcryptidpod.com. There's a little contact section where you can go on and leave me your story. And I get so excited when I go over the stories to read. So yeah, I'm just send me all the creepy stuff to read and I'm good. So I have had very creepy things happen in my lifetime. And I've talked about the experience I had in Edinburgh, Scotland, and I've had a few that were kind of creepy there, staying at Melville Castle and then staying at an Airbnb closer to the city center of Edinburgh, and some creepy things that went on that, where I'm pretty sure my husband got possessed and I woke up to a demon, whispering in my ear. It felt like a demon. I don't know that it was, but it definitely did feel menacing. And I think that the whole idea that I like to stick with is that we all get put in these eerie situations, right? And you can feel the hair on the back of your neck stand up, and you can just sense that there's something there. And that's kind of like where I kind of like to dive into it, because as humans, we have these like senses where we can sense that there's something there. And just because we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. So I will say that I think that everybody in this world has probably had a weird sensation or feeling that they're either, like there's something there that they can't see. So whether it's your inner Mulder or Scully that wants to say like, oh, it's, something rational or, something paranormal, that's up for you. Whatever you decide that you believe is 100% okay. And I am just one of those people who I love the idea that there's just something there that we don't see. So that's what I'm going to go with. So this first story today is from Mike, and Mike said, so I live walking distance to the woods by me in New Jersey, and it's right on the coast. Open space, ton of trails, swamp water, etc. A little bit of everything. I'm always walking around just finding stuff. One time I was back there on a random weekday when I head off from work, just doing my exploring. Always hear bugs, birds, see tons of wildlife. I'm pretty deep into a spot and I hear this weird howl, like a dog, but much more menacing and scary. Immediately, the hair on the back of my neck stands up. I come across this clearing in the woods I've never seen before. Everything was silent after that howl, and I hear this noise in the woods like trees breaking. I look over and see something run through the woods large enough to take out a decent-sized tree. Instead of exploring it, I took off running towards home. I heard the howl again as I was running, and when I got back on the main path, everything was normal again. I tried to find the spot with the clearing again and still can't find it and haven't heard or seen anything since. I still explore the woods, but I'm more cautious. It was just strange. We don't have bears back there, but I have seen partially eaten animals and deer and such, so something is big back there. It still freaks me out. So that is so creepy. And hearing howls in the woods is definitely something that a lot of people have talked about, especially in reference to the dog man and the Sierra sounds. And if you haven't heard of those two, I would definitely recommend doing like a little rabbit hole dive into those two topics, because there are some really creepy things in the woods. Like I always talk about how I live in the woods, and actually like not too long ago, like 2 weeks ago, I was outside and it was like probably around midnight. And I heard almost like these weird, like, chattery noises coming from down by the water. And I was like, I came and I told my husband, I was like, okay, there's something weird, like, making noises by the water. And I kind of want to go look, but then I'm like, don't, because that is the typical horror movie, like, situation I'd be putting myself in. So that is so creepy. And like you said, there aren't bears in the area. So, you know, it's just wondering what kind of wildlife could have made these weird noises. I mean, obviously it was a predator, because the way that you said that everything went quiet, that's usually the first sign that there's something in the woods that things are trying to be quiet and stay away from. So that is super creepy. So if anybody is around New Jersey and you've had any weird encounters, could have been the Jersey Devil. Maybe he was like flying around, and I definitely need to do an episode on the Jersey Devil, but that is super creepy. And I'm telling you, like, the woods are a scary place. So if you're listening, please, if you are going, even if you're going hiking on a trail and you plan on going off trail, please have a GPS device. Please have resources, because there are a lot of creepy things in the woods, whether it's animals and other large predators. There's a lot of, like, I don't know, maybe I read way too much like feral people things, but please, 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 if you guys are ever in the woods, please be safe. So this next story is going to be from Benjamin. And Benjamin says, I have a spooky encounter and also some photographic evidence of something weird that happened at my childhood home. When I was around 19 or 20, my grandfather had passed away and had been cremated and put into a wooden urn. My dad insisted on keeping the urn in the living room on top of the fireplace mantle, with a photo of my grandfather right on top of it. Seeing it there used to give me the creeps, and I'd always feel uneasy being around the urn. My dad used to commute to work full-time and had a side gig on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays in that same town. So he would be gone most of the nights out of the week. It was an hour from my dad's house, so he never came home unless it was an emergency. One night, my friend and I were hanging out in my house while my dad was at work. While we were playing video games in my room, my friend saw something out of the corner of his eye and looked out of my open bedroom door into the hallway. He paused the game and said, "Hey, I thought you said your dad was at work." "It's Wednesday. He's out of town and won't be home until tomorrow," I said. I put down my controller and looked at my friend. He had a look of disbelief on his face, like I was joking around. "I just saw him walk down the hallway towards his room," he said. I got up and walked down the hallway, almost pitch black from no lights being on. I opened my dad's bedroom door and flipped on the light. No one there. I walked over to the garage on the other side of the house, calling to my dad. No answer. Opened the garage door, and his truck was not parked inside. I was starting to get suspicious about what my friend saw. I went back into the room and told him, "He's not here. Are you sure you saw him?" My friend looked spooked. "Yeah, he walked down the hallway just now," he exclaimed, getting freaked out. I looked at my friend skeptically. "What did he look like?" I asked, knowing my dad wore his dress clothes to work for a formal event at work. He was wearing some overalls and a white t-shirt. He had his hair slicked back. I froze, chills running down my back. He had just described my grandfather and the clothes he used to wear, since he liked to fix up old cars. My mouth fell open and told my friend that he had seen my grandfather's ghost. Led him to my grandfather's urn on the fireplace and showed him a picture of my grandfather in his overalls. My friend said, "Oh shit, that's who I saw." My friend and I were freaked out the entire night, and the next day when my dad came home, I asked him if he had come home at all. My dad just simply said, "No, I slept at work last night." I still can't believe that my friend saw my grandfather's ghost that night, but I do have evidence that proves that there was something cryptic going on there. Related to this story is a photo I took around the same time period, around 2000 to 2001. It was taken on an old film camera, and the photos were professionally developed. The film negative also shows exactly what is in the photo, so it's not a misprint or something that happened to the picture. It's a photo that I took of my friend sleeping on the couch in some kind of vapor or cloud or spirit, something emanating from my friend's unconscious body. I tried for years to figure out what could have happened to that film, if it was a lightning effect or some kind of anomaly, but I've not been able to explain it. Even today, when I look at it, it seems to appear just not over his head, but in other spots on my friend as well. Anyway, if you want to have a peek at the photo, send me an email and I'll be sure to send over a copy. Thanks for reading my story, and I love your podcast. Thanks so much, Benjamin. And you know what I'm going to say. Let's see this photo. So I will definitely be reaching out to get this photo. Maybe we'll post it over on Reddit and get everybody kind of like figuring out what the heck it is. Now, there are a lot of situations where people have taken photos and there's been clouds or orbs or random things. And, you know, while some can definitely be explained by like double exposures or whatever, you know, tricks that people can do with it, there are still a lot of photos out there that have no explanation as what could have happened. So I am totally down for it. And we're talking like 2000, 2001. So I think that the fact that it wasn't taken on a digital camera or anything like that kind of adds a little bit of a layer of like, ooh, this is going to be good. It's so crazy. And I guess my question is for Benjamin is have you felt anything weird in that house? Like you said you felt uneasy by the urn, but like, is there anything else that has happened to you other than that incident where you might have seen something out of the corner of your eye or where you felt like you've been watched or anything like that? So that's definitely some follow-ups. I'm going to definitely have to do an episode of like follow-ups where I have reached out to people who have submitted stories for Campfire Tales and we get a little bit more of like an update on if anything else happened, because there's been situations where people have actually had another family member who have also experienced weird things in situations. So I'll definitely have to follow up with that one, Benjamin. But thank you so much for submitting that. That's definitely super creepy. And it sounds like your grandpa just wants to go about his life. You know, there's a lot of stories where people say that ghosts, they still feel like they need to go and do their normal everyday things. So that's why they'll have like almost like a loop where people will be like, oh, you know, I didn't realize someone passed away, but I saw them that night coming in and doing their normal things, not only to find out the next day they had already passed away. Creepy. I love it. So this next story is from Kevin. And Kevin says, well, I'm not sure where to start, but I'll start off by saying that I've always been sensitive to spirits. I wouldn't say I'm haunted from anything malevolent, but certainly attached. One of the best stories I have is, I was working and waiting for a courier to pick up some late night shipments. It was almost 6:30 p.m. and I was waiting for them to show up, and once they did, I had them roll to the bay door in the back. The office and shop is only about 2,000 square feet, so not huge and open enough to see everything. We started talking in the back and I heard the front door open and I turned to look to wait to see a customer, but no one was there. I assured the courier that I'm alone and it was probably nothing. A few moments later, I hear someone step on the rain guard on the floor to go into the shop, and I turn around and no one is there. The courier hears it too and asks again who else is there, and I say, should be no one, but let me check. I walk closer and no one's in sight, and walk back, and not even a second as I walk back up to the courier, I feel like someone is staring at me trying to get my attention, and I turn back around, and both myself and the courier see a 5-pound metal truck part fly off the shelf and land 5 feet away. And he runs out saying, nope, I have to go. And I'm like, finally, someone else gets to witness what I see. We are both freaked and he leaves and I have to lock up still. But that was the fastest I ever locked up and said, peace, ghost. I'll give you some quiet time. Luckily, the courier came back a few days later and confirmed my story. A third party I've never met or known got to witness it and confirm I'm not crazy. See, that's the thing that I always love too, is when someone else is there and they're like reassured. It's kind of like UFO sightings, right? Like you want to talk about this weird experience, but you're like, I don't want to sound like I'm losing my mind at the same time. But it's always nice to have someone else who's experiencing these things as well. That way it kind of confirms like, okay, I did see that. But also it confirms that something creepy was going on. So there's like a double side to that. I guess my question, Kevin, is like, have other people that have worked there, have they also had weird experiences? Or do we know the history of that building? Or, you know, it's so funny because I just imagine like this cranky ghost just throwing something like super crazy. And like I said, I would love to know like the history of the building and see like there's something that could have caused a cranky ghost to exist, or especially since you felt like it was watching you and the courier also felt it as well. So definitely very spooky, definitely very creepy. So this last story is going to be from Jeff. And Jeff says, hi, Erica, there is something that took place around 40 years ago and it's just creepy. A girl I was dating was a bit into the occult, and one time when we were out, she said, let me show you something. We drove to a country road, the kind that has trees growing all over the road, which during the day lends a type of charm, at night, creepy. We drove out to this road about 5 miles, and she told me to slow down. As we were slowly driving, she told me to turn into the driveway we were coming up to. When I did, my headlights lit up the front corner of the old farmhouse that was there, and on the wall was a very large pentagram. We sat there for several minutes, and it was starting to get creepy and the air heavy. We continued to sit there and look around, never getting out of the car. All of a sudden, she screamed out something was coming at us. My cue was to put the car in reverse and get out of there. I looked over, I got on the road, and all I saw was a dark figure standing by the pentagram. A few years later, in October, so spooky month, I was with a group of friends, and one was bragging that nothing scared him. I remember this place and said, I have something that will scare you. He said to prove it. So he and his girlfriend got in my car and we went off. We got about a mile away from the place and his girlfriend was getting uncomfortable and said she had a weird feeling about this place and wanted to go. Her boyfriend was also starting to get a little antsy. Since I was driving, I just kept going since we were that close. Turned into the driveway and discovered the house was no longer standing. However, they were both starting to freak out, so we didn't sit there long. I backed out like last time, looked over and got back on the road. Saw the same dark figure standing where the house used to be. We got back to town and he finally admitted that he was scared by where we had went and he never wanted to go back to that place again. You know, occult stuff is always creepy because you just never know the intent of what they're doing out there. You know, I just think that it's like, it's never a good idea. You know, if it's some harmless, like, okay, cute, like little pagan witches in the woods, like just being cute and fairy like, then yeah, sure. But if it's like people out there like sacrificing animals, like that's never a good time. So I guess like the thing is I would love to know the history of that area. I would love to know if there was any type of like occult or satanic activity or anything like that going on. And the fact that it was like an old farmhouse, I mean, anybody can visualize in your mind, like you're going down this creepy road, right? You're going down this old country road that has a ton of trees just surrounding it. And then you turn into this old, like creepy driveway, right? And then all of a sudden you see this old decrepit barn and you see a pentagram and you're like, okay, what's inside of the barn first off? What's inside of the barn? So you already know from the outside, there's something awful on the inside. So, I mean, it's always fun to go do like some exploring in like abandoned places, but also you just never know what you're going to find. And like, this is one of those times where I'm like a mom and I'm telling everybody, please just be safe. Just be safe. Even if you're out hiking or you're going to explore urban places, please be safe. Have like a little, I want y'all to all have like first aid kits, get you a cute little GPS device. Like always just make sure you're safe because you just never know. And that's, you know, this is going to be a lesson on safety, y'all. That's what today's episode is about. Please just being safe, ensuring my little campers stay safe out there. It is very creepy because like it is one thing to wonder like, okay, was this dark figure that you saw, was it like an entity or was it a person? And I think that's also something that might be kind of haunting as well. Ooh, Jeff, that's a creepy one. I do wonder, Jeff, like I said, is there anything that's gone on in that area? So I might have to reach out to see, like, research a little bit about your area and look into the history and see if there's anything a little peculiar going on there. But that was a cool one. That was a cool one. Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think that we've all had kind of creepy experiences, whether it be, you know, you're outside alone, you hear something and it kind of spooks you. Or you're walking through a creepy place and you feel the hairs all over your body stand up because you can feel it there, right? We can use our senses to feel it there, but we can't see it. And I think what bothers us is the fact that we can't see it, right? You know, we can't visualize it. So I think that that's kind of what the scary part is like we try to draw these connections in our mind to what it could be. And I think that our imagination runs away. And then it's like, we always think, oh gosh, it's like this terrifying thing, right? And it could be, and it could be. So yeah, those were some amazing stories. And like I said, if y'all are listening and you have creepy stories from around your area, please do let me know because I would love to honestly compile some of these, kind of like connect them to urban legends. Yeah, so like the first one I read from Mike where he was in New Jersey and he hears this howl, like I would love to figure out if that's like close to like the Jersey Devil territory. And I mean, there's tons of cryptids all over not only the United States, but all over the world that we can kind of connect these weird activities to. So I would love to start doing that. And like I said, I also did start kind of compiling my research. So if you all are like, if I talk about a cryptid, what I've done on the Camp Cryptid website is I've kind of compiled all of my research from like newspaper articles to actual like websites that are dedicated to it. I tried to link all of that information there for you all to read so that you have a lot of resources. So if you want to do your own little deep dives, you can. And I've done it with a lot of the cryptids I've done episodes on this season. And I definitely want to expand it even more. So I would love to expand it on like urban legends and ghost stories in regions and haunted locations, whether it be haunted hotels, haunted houses, and being able to draw in more stories that might connect back to that is kind of like my main hope, to be like a hub for all of the like cryptid, weird, creepy activity. That's kind of what I want Camp Cryptid, the website, to kind of also have for you all. So I'm very excited though. I get so excited to do like research on topics. So, but yeah, like I said, when it comes to creepy experiences, I've had quite a few. And I guess what I'll leave with today's episode with is my own creepy experience. So I have lived all over. My dad was in the military. I lived in Alabama for a while. So if you guys ever hear like a Southern accent come out, I lived in Alabama for like most of my childhood. So sometimes I can't help it. Sometimes it comes out, but most of the time I just sound like a Midwestern, like someone from like Fargo or something. I can't quite figure out my accent most days. So I'm sorry. I just apologize. But, So when we moved up to back up to Ohio, we lived in this a house that was out in the country. And like where I lived was a very small town. It's considered a village, actually, where kind of like my family's from. Has like less than 1,000 people. Like it has like 2 stoplights. It has a subway. So that was, you know, it's coming of time and coming into like joining the future. It's getting a subway, I guess. And I lived out in this area where, I mean, you could go like a couple miles and not see a house at all. But of course, you know, Ohio is known for its cornfields. And of course, this house was surrounded by cornfields. I mean, there was cornfields in the back. There was cornfields in front. There was cornfields on the side. I think actually one of our neighbors down the way was actually a farmer. And this house was like this beautiful little white house. On the left-hand side of it was like a giant pond that was kind of the size of like a football field. And this house was super creepy, and it kind of gave like Children of the Corn vibes when you would drive up to it. Like nothing was moved into the house, and I was like, oh my god, we can stay there, it'll be so fun. So we had nothing inside the house, and I bring my friend in the house, and we were supposed to stay there that night. And my friend was like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't really want to stay here. There's something very sinister about this house. And I, you know, me being the, you know, jackass I am, I'm like, ooh, so creepy, like, you know, I kick myself now for joking about that. But I'm telling you, my friend could not have been more right about that house being sinister. So this house was amazing on the inside. It almost kind of felt like a maze on the inside. And it was very weird. Like, and my little sister at one point was like looking out the sliding doors and looked over at us and was like, I just saw someone jump into the pond and not come up. And that was one of the things that always stuck out to me. And then another thing that always stuck out to me is that there was one time I was the only person in our house and I was in the shower. And while I was in the shower, basically it was one of those showers where it has like the plastic clear shower door and across like straight. So if you're looking out of it from the shower, all you can see is like the giant mirror across the way. When I was in the shower, I could see almost like a light blue, figure or something like in the doorway with the reflection of the mirror, and me thinking that it's my friend like playing a joke on me, like, okay, I just, you know, kept doing my shower and I got out. Well, I was still the only person in that house, and I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, I literally looked everywhere in the house because I was like, well, maybe my parents got home, or, you know, my mom came in to check on me, or I don't know. But I was the only person in this house. And as I'm like walking around, my phone calls, like my home phone. And so I pick it up because it's actually my friend that I thought was like coming. And they were like, hey, I'm with my mom in Fort Wayne right now. I just saw you called. What's up? And I was like, what do you mean I called? Like, what are you talking about? And my friend went on to say that they had a missed call from my home phone. And from then on, I was just kind of like, okay, well, there's something really effed up about this place. Obviously, it's definitely very creepy. And even like my mom woke up to hearing people like whispering. So like, it's like I said, this was an old house. So like when it had like old, like air registers and vents, those went straight down to the basement, and the basement was everybody's worst. Like I was gonna, when we first moved into the house, and this is so bad, and I feel so bad for people who moved there afterwards, but the basement was sick. It had like a sauna. It had like a bar. It was so cool. But it was very creepy. So I painted all the walls like lime green to like make it feel like it was like more fun, because I was like, it's so creepy down here. And it's like, this is where I want to be. It's got a sauna. It's got a bar. Like, what is this? But I painted the walls lime green, and that is where everybody always heard whispers coming from. Like you could straight up hear like people having conversations from the basement. So I don't know. I just, like I said, there's always been times where I feel like we all have always felt something weird, and it's just about like using our senses to tap into that and feel it. And I think that just because you don't see something sometimes doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So there are so many more stories about that house, y'all, though. I mean, honestly, like everybody who I brought over to that house, even my little brother's friends, my sister's friends, like people who lived in the house prior to us and after us have all confirmed that that house is weird. There is something going on. And like I said, it's like Children of the Corn out there. It's like surrounded by corn, and it's just in the middle of nowhere. I mean, when you turn off the lights in that house, it is dark. I brought friends over. Like I said, when my family wasn't there and we didn't have furniture in the house, I brought a bunch of friends over, and I mean, it sounds like corny, but we played hide and go seek in this house because there was nothing in the house. And literally people were standing in the middle of of the rooms because you couldn't see them. So it's definitely an eerie place, and it had like horse barns out back, and out behind that was more corn, and it was just in the middle of nowhere, and that is always creepy. I think there was like a little old cemetery too, like right like a half a mile down the road too. I don't know. But, you know, just because there's a cemetery doesn't mean it's creepy or haunted, but I definitely think it was. So I'm going to go with the fact that it was haunted, confirmed by my entire family and the entire group of people who have lived prior to and after we moved. But yeah. So yeah, that is my little add-on for Campfire Tales. Like I said, I've had a lot of creepy experiences, and, you know, maybe they could all be explained by something rational. But, you know, in my mind, no, there's nothing rational about that. So... But, you know, other than that, other than the creepy stories, I want to thank Mike and Benjamin and Jeff and Kevin so much for submitting your stories. It was so amazing to read them. And like I said, if y'all have any good stories that you'd like to add to Campfire Tales, I would love to read them. And it doesn't even have to deal with paranormal stuff. It can be something as simple as like a glitch in the Matrix, or you saw something weird in the sky and you have a picture or video, because I love it all. I love it all. And, you know, I think that sci-fi, I've always said this, I think sci-fi and horror kind of goes hand in hand. And so that's why I always am open to everything sci-fi as well. But yeah, other than that, I haven't been watching too many creepy movies. I have been watching a lot of the Oscar nominations and Oscar winner movies. So, you know, I've been doing the Oscar circuit of like watching all of the movies that were nominated. And I fell in love with Poor Things. So anybody who knows me probably knows I definitely for sure loved that. But Poor Things was amazing. And Zone of Interest, I mean, that's a horror movie on its own, to be honest. I also did watch, if you were a fan of like true crime, or not like that, like true crime, but like crime stuff, where it's like kind of like a whodunit, Apples Never Fall. I really, really enjoyed that one. And it's got Sam Neill, and Sam Neill was in Event Horizon, and I will literally watch anything that that man is in. So Event Horizon is like one of my absolute favorite movies ever in this world. And I always got excited that they would do a second one. And I think that anyone who has the appreciation now for Event Horizon is like, yes, I kind of think it's time to give another Event Horizon, because that movie was way before its time and was so good. And honestly, it did not get the love that it deserved at that time. And I'm happy that now that time has passed, people really appreciate that movie. I think it's a wonderful dark space sci-fi horror movie, and I am here for it. But yeah, I haven't been really watching anything other than the Oscar movies lately. So if y'all have any good recommendations, I know there's some amazing horror movies coming out, and I'm super excited. I think 2024 is going to be a great year for horror. Not to toot our own horn, but you know, we're all on the team of in the cast, and everybody that's on the team of a Gettysburg Haunting is so excited for that to come out. I literally cannot wait. But yeah, I think 2024 is going to be a great year for horror, and I think it's going to be really exciting, I think, this fall, because I think that's when a lot of the movies plan on dropping, is this fall, you know, around Halloween and stuff. So I think we're going to have a lot to look forward to, y'all, and I'm very, very excited. But yeah, if you all have any recommendations at all for good things I need to watch, whether it be, oh my gosh, how did I forget? So, okay, real quick, I'm so sorry. I know this is supposed to be a Campfire Tales, and I'm yapping, and I'm so sorry, y'all. But my husband and I were sitting there, and we had pretty much finished all these movies, and we were kind of wondering something to watch. And I will say that I am so sorry for anyone this offends. I'm going to go on and say it. I have never watched Star Trek before, right? And I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but I've never watched Star Trek. And so we sat there the other day, and I know that everybody said to start out with the Star Trek, The Next Generation, but I was like, I feel like I need to at least give the first episode of the original Star Trek a chance. And we watched it, and it was like a little movie. And okay, I kind of like Star Trek now. So if I like the original from the 60s, I feel like I'm definitely going to love. I feel like hands down, I'm definitely going to love The Next Generation. So I'm really excited. I'll have to, during the next episode, I'm definitely going to have to keep you guys posted on my Star Trek, my new Star Trek fandom. So if you see me, you know, cosplaying anything from Star Trek, you know, I'm already obsessed. So it was a lot of fun. And I can only imagine how like back in the 60s that would have translated to seeing for the first time, like this amazing sci-fi goodness. Like what a time, right? And I think it's great to go back through and really like appreciate some of these pioneers of, you know, sci-fi and horror. And so that's why I always say, go through and watch the originals. Go through and watch all the, you know, the original Suspiria. I love the original Suspiria. It's so visual. It's so beautiful. I'm a fan of witches, and I'm here for it. And I hope, you know, you all find something that you enjoy too from those oldies and oldies, but goodies, right? But speaking of the next episode, I will be back on the grind to do another research episode. And so I'm going to be talking about the Bermuda Triangle in the next episode. I feel like, what the heck happened to the Bermuda Triangle, right? Because growing up, for me being an 80s baby, growing up, the Bermuda Triangle was like on blast all the time. Like there was always so much coming out about it. But I feel like it's kind of like calmed down. And I kind of want to, you know, raise the hype about it again and kind of talk about the weirdness of the Bermuda Triangle. So I'm very excited to get into that. And also to kind of go along with the Bermuda Triangle, I will be doing an episode on the Bridgewater Triangle, which a lot of you have reached out about. So do not worry, that is coming. I am very excited to do that. And in the meantime, if you also like to have any input on episodes, I do try to do a Patreon poll for patrons, and I'll go through and ask even people who aren't patrons. If you're just following my page, you can follow for free. I do post stuff on there too. So I'll post about episodes. I'll have you all give, leave comments on what type of cryptid you think that should be included in the poll. And then I'll post a poll and have patrons vote on it and see what's going to be the cryptid of the month. So make sure you go in and check out my Patreon. It is free to follow. So please do not feel pressure to join. It's just kind of a fun way to get our community together and kind of nerd out over all this goodness. But yeah, hey, I want to thank you all so much for hanging out for another episode. I love the creepiness. I love the spookiness. And even though it's not Halloween, I think that it should be kind of a year-long theme. And that's what I love. That's what I love about it, right? So yeah, thanks so much for hanging out. You campers are the absolute best. And I'm really excited for the goodies that we have going on this year and all the chaos of cryptids, and I'm here for it. So, but hey, I hope you're having a great week so far. I hope your day is amazing and you're getting some good food in that belly. And until next time, take care.